Welcome to Stemming in Stilettos with Dr. Tasha, a podcast for and about women of color in STEM. These women are brave, beautiful, and brilliant. Their stories deserve and need to be heard. Their voice strong, their message clear, their experiences priceless. Now let's welcome this wonderful winning woman of color to the show.
Hi, and welcome to Stemming in Stilettos with Dr. Natasha Anderson and
Maria Johnson.
We engage, enlighten, and energize. We're so glad you're here with us today. Our topic for this show is parents in STEM education.
Are you a parent?
I am a parent of two. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. And I am the parent of three grown children, one of whom is actually in STEM and educating. How about that?
STEM and educating. I love that. So, well, so we want to talk to parents today as it's getting closer for the kids to go back to school. And I know that at many of your schools, they have a STEM program, STEM after school program, STEM something going on. And I wanted to encourage you, or we both want to encourage you to engage with your child, especially if they are showing an expressed interest in STEM, because it's important. So I am indeed the mother of two. I have a 13-year-old girl and an 11-year-old boy, both of whom have showed interest in STEM, but in very different ways. My daughter wants to be a fashion designer. And at first you might think, okay, she's going to design clothes, but that is indeed a STEM career, if you will. So there's a huge amount of math involved. Geometry comes to mind because we're talking about measurements and patterns and shapes and all those kinds of things and how they fit on the body. So I was ecstatic, and I think she was surprised that I was like, oh, okay, let's do this.
There's also textiles involved in that, isn't there?
All different types of materials and how they work. Like leather works differently than cotton and silk and all those. Anyway, all that stuff has to do with this, the type of engineering that goes along with that. And anyway, so there's so many different ways or entryways into this career that I find exciting, and that even stretch me as a STEM mind, if you will. So that's very exciting. And so this summer she has spent time with one of the local fashion designers, getting her feet wet. She's only 13. She designs clothes all the time, and some of them it's really good. And so now I tell her, I said, she has her own sewing machine. So we're getting her into pattern making and understanding how shirts, pants, skirts, dresses are supposed to fit and what's the difference between an A-line and straight and all that kind of stuff. So she's in the learning process and it hadn't scared her off yet. So I'm especially glad about that.
Oh, that's a lot of fun too. And and that's part of the thing is to help them find things that they love and that they enjoy.
Yes, that's part of it. And so my son, Lord, you know, my son is into Minecraft, and I say this with love, but Minecraft is the devil. It is a time warp. It's like it just sucks time away. And he is so engaged in this game that at first I was like, nah, you got to put this down because you're always on the computer. You don't engage with other people. Okay. But then I realized there's a way for me to engage with him in this game. So I've learned how to play. I'm horrible. My house is literally four walls and a door.
Do the zombies eat you?
And, well, listen, he's playing some game with his friend. On me, we're still on level one. So we haven't got any zombies. But what I did learn how to do, like we have, in my house, we have, you know, one of the kids will go with one of the parents. So it was mommy son time. And we sat in Panera Bread. Shout out to Panera Bread. But one day, and he took me through some of the real intricate details of that game, he made this pretend wall, this imaginary wall that when you knocked it down, or not even knocked it down, you had to hit this lever and it went away. And then it was this big surprise at the end. And as he's explaining it to me, I realized that he's talking about gears and shifts. And I'm thinking to myself, he doesn't even know he's talking about gears and shifts and how all that works. But he's got it down. He has the lingo right. He's talking about, he's all engaged in it. And I was like, well, now this is my speed.
You know, actually, that's a pretty awesome game to teach them how to create simple machines and other things.
Yep.
It's it's actually quite a surprise. My nephew, he's about 10 years old. He plays it, and one day he was showing me how he built a box that you can open and close and expand. And I'm like, oh, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Plus, they got this whole architectural thing going on where they're building houses.
All the time. And a moat. He had a moat around it, and then he built this drawbridge, again, talking about gears and all those kinds of things. And it was phenomenal. It was probably one of the best moments that him and I have spent this summer. Because I'm asking him these questions like, what kind of gear are you talking about? What's on the back end? How does it work? And he was like, oh, like mommy gets it.
So you're interested? He has no clue that you actually have this background.
No. Because to him, mommy's a teacher. So
not an engineer.
Nope.
That's funny.
So that was really, it was a really good moment.
That's, you know, that, and that's such an integral part of what we should be doing as parents is engaging with our children, but recognizing also that we're their first teachers.
Yes.
You know, we're the ones that are really responsible for engaging them and for introducing them to these things that they're going to do one day. It's really amazing. My kids are grown.
Yeah.
You know, so they're already out in their careers. And two out of three went to a science and technology high school. The oldest one went to the science and technology high school. She thought she was going to be a biology major, a marine biologist, but she actually turned out to be a linguist.
Love that segue.
But she benefited so much from the thinking and the critical thinking, the research skills that she did in this science academy. So that was a bonus for her. My youngest also went to the same academy, and he's a mathematician, and he just graduated from Georgia Tech with a degree in applied math, and has gone into some stuff I don't even understand. Some number crunching. He's an actuary.
Okay.
So he does predictions based on trends and numbers and things like that. And it's really an interesting field. But you know how they got started in that is hilarious. And all three of them are deeply involved in science, at least as an interest, if not as an actual career choice. But I blame my brother, who's an electrical engineer, and he's younger than I am. So my husband and I were married young, and my brother was just starting college. So he was finishing college right at about the time that we started having babies. And the thing that my brother would do is he would record some musical piece on his TI calculator.
Oh, yes.
And play it to my belly.
Yes.
He was conducting experiments on human beings. And then when the children were born, he would play the music to see if they would turn and seek the sound that was familiar to them. And sure enough, you know, they did.
Right.
And then when they were learning to speak, he would teach them the quadratic equation.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And he would just say it. I don't even know what it is. I remember hearing it. What is it?
Oh,
a
listen.
Squared plus B squared.
There's a four
whatever.
In there
there's
someplace.
Something. I don't
and
know.
There's okay. Yes.
I'm the
some
I'm
square
the
square roots of something all over something. It's a fraction.
I'm the arts and the steam conversation here. So anyway, so the kids knew this, and they could respond just like you teach them. You know, we taught our oldest to say that it was 10 minutes to 2 as a response to what time is it. So anytime it was 10 minutes to two and there were people around us, we would ask her what time it was, and she would say 10 minutes to two. She couldn't tell time. She just responded to to the prompt. Anyway, I'd like to think that having fun with science and having fun with the numbers contributed to their you know, their skills and their interest in that this is something that can be fun.
Yes, and that's very important, because kids, or at least this generation of kids, there has to be a level of fun. And this generation of kids, probably all kids in general, I just can't, you know, I just, as a kid myself, I just don't remember it being a lot of fun, but I had such a significant interest in it, that it didn't necessarily matter if it was fun for me. So if STEM is fun, and I like it when we can do things where the kids don't actually know that they're learning.
Yeah.
But on the back end, you say, hey, you remember when you were doing this part of the experiment? That's what this is. And they can then relate it back to something that they were in class with or had had some subject in class. And then, you know, then it clicks for them like, oh, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can do this.
Right, so, you make it natural for them.
Right. So when we do that, I think that it's a better fit. And there's a huge role that parents can play in that happening. Because STEM isn't just something they do at school. It's stuff that you do at home. And it's some simple stuff that maybe parents haven't thought about. So we need to understand that STEM education is for all students, and it's why it's important for your student in the United States, but for your state in general. We all know that there's a lack of STEM employees, if you will, in the United States. So what's going to happen over the next 20 years or so, the experts say, is that because we are not producing enough people going into STEM careers, those people who are in STEM careers are getting ready to retire. There's no one there to replace them. So that's going to leave a vast void in terms of technological advancement, inventions, and other innovations, or at least this is, again, what the experts saying. So we all have a role to play in the continued development of the United States. And again, these are all, when you hear what we have coming up, they're really simple things. They're not this long, drawn out kind of, you know, multi-leveled, complicated things that you can do as a parent. They're really simple. And some of you may be doing them already and just hadn't really thought that this was your contribution to the whole STEM dilemma or STEM education problem, if you will. One of the other things is, understand your conscious or unconscious bias towards STEM. So here's the thing, especially girls in particular, if you tell your daughter, hey, or your son too, hey, I'm not good in math or science. I hated science when I was in high school or I was in school.
Right.
Well, kids tend to internalize that stuff. Girls in particular do that. So you could be hurting your child that way. It doesn't mean much to you because, you know, you got through it. Whatever, you know, when you were 7, when you were 15, when you were 18, when you were in college, you got through it, you know, and that was that. But the message we communicate to our kids when we say, you know, math was hard for me, or I didn't like math, or science was boring, or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. You know, whatever it is you say, kids tend to take that on. Because if my mother was bad at math, or my dad was bad at math, then it stands to reason.
Wow, I just led with that in the beginning of the show too. I can't remember what the quadratic equation was.
You know, I mean, it does. They take it on. And some of it's excuses, of course, and then others of it, I mean, girls in particular really do internalize that and becomes a part of their narrative about themselves. So just be aware of what you say, how you say it, and how your actions are manifested and what it looks like to your child.
Wow. And you know what? Mm-hmm. That's really speaking to me about how I can conduct my classes too. Mm-hmm. Because if I get down to the wire as an English instructor, as a writing instructor, how could I also contribute to that narrative? Reinforcing it through my own experience. Good advice. Good advice to move forward with.
So if you are listening and you are a parent, we have 10 tips for you today on how you can help your child become a better STEM thinker, which leads to them being a better student, which leads to them maybe having an increased interest in STEM careers and so on and so forth. So follow along and see if there's something in there that you are doing or can do to help your child. Okay, so number one, be alert for opportunities to talk with your child about STEM-related topics. For example, this is a bad example, but we'll go with it. Talk about gravity when your child is tossing a ball in the air. Discuss fractions or percentages when you slice a pie. So those are two simple examples. Cooking is one. Cooking is another one.
Yes. Yeah, cooking is chemistry. And you know, mm-hmm. when you're talking with your kids or when you're in the kitchen, a lot of times my kids were doing their homework at the kitchen table while I was cooking or you know, preparing for dinner that evening. And you can have them measure things.
Yep.
You can, it's chemistry.
It is.
You can talk about what happens if you put that oil to heat in the pan and you turn your back on it.
Or you put water
or you put
in the grease. We don't want to experience that though.
No, we don't.
But I mean, it's also math, because we can talk about, again, there's fractions and measurements and some other things that go on there. But the chemical reactions, it's all about that. So some of us who cook, because not everyone cooks. So if you cook, use this as an opportunity to introduce simple mathematical equations or science experiments in there with your kids. I mean, cooking, making cookies, baking a cake, or putting the ingredients together to make a cake or bread or whatever. All of those things can introduce science and technology, and in some cases, you know, math. So again, simple. You don't have to think too hard about it, but all of it brings it to the forefront. And then if you, as the parent, take this time to engage your child in it, that's just one more thing that you can do. Okay, that was tip one. Tip two, encourage curiosity and questioning. Rather than giving an answer or a solution to a problem, encourage your child to research information and or come up with several possible solutions to a problem. I love, love, love this, even though it's so hard sometimes as a parent. So they'll ask me, you know, because my kids are curious to the point to where it's like, if you ask me another question.
Oh, but, are you that parent that says, look it up?
I do. I literally
excellent
do, because to me, if I'm always answering the questions, then there's nothing for you to do.
That's
you
right.
become a passive participant in the whole thing. So I'm going to ask mommy the question. Mommy's going to answer it. I'm going to go on about my life. And I'm going to forget the answer. But if I've got to go look it up, oh, you best believe I'm going to remember, because I don't want to do this again.
But, you know, part of the Socratic method is to ask questions mm-hmm. to get the person to think through it. So even if your child doesn't grow up to be a scientist, certainly your child is going to grow up to be able to think critically.
Right.
So this is something that we should be doing across the board, questioning, asking them to develop that next section, and ask them to then come up with the next level of questions on their own questions.
Right.
And that's really part of what the scientific method is.
I always... So my daughter is really good about, hey, mom, I have this situation. And, you know, she'll lay out the situation, whatever it is. And then she'll say, well, what do you think? I was like, and I always often say to her, I don't know. What do you think? And what is it? You know, what is it that you think you need to do here? And she'll always give me that look like, really? I came to you for you to solve it. And I'm like, well, it's not my situation. I'm not in it. These aren't my friends. You know, this is not my whatever. So I oftentimes will put it back on her. So she has to think through the solution. And then generally somewhere in there, I'm going, I don't know if you should do that. Let me tell you why. You probably need to think about some of these things so you can recalibrate and come back. Encourage the curiosity and the questioning. That's excellent. Tip three, view science and technology TV and videos with your child. Okay, so Maria was just telling me before we started the show that her and her husband were watching
Stupid Science. We're always watching, you know, Mythbusters the science shows that are on the cable channels. Mm-hmm. And there's one that's people who do dumb things and how they explode things.
Right.
But so it's an engaging. So these guys are really engaging because they were doing all kinds of experiments. Now this show, what they do is they glean videos from the internet and they mm-hmm. find people who are doing stupid things and too often getting hurt in the process. And so at first you'd think that what they're doing is just showcasing silly videos to make fun of people. But actually they have physicists on board and chemists and other scientists who
love that.
Yeah. And so they break down the science of it. So the show that we were watching last night had some guys in high school who took the Hot Wheels concept. Remember the Hot Wheels when the kids
yes.
would build the tracks and you send the car, you shoot the car down this ramp and it does the loop-de-loop and comes out the other end. So these guys built themselves a giant Hot Wheels track and they launched themselves down a hill and they picked up enough velocity to do the loop-de-loop, but they didn't calculate how to reinforce the track.
Mm-hmm.
So what ended up happening is that the first kid drove through the track. He just went boom, just crashed right through the thing. And you know, so we're laughing because he's all splayed out on the floor.
Right.
But they went back to the drawing board and they figured out that they needed to reinforce that part of the track. So mm-hmm. they went back and they rebuilt it. And don't you know, they succeeded. They did it.
Awesome. That is, well, for the engineer in me, that is a clear practical application of the engineering design process where you brainstorm an idea, you put it down on paper, you actually draw it out, maybe you get a prototype of it, then you test, and then you retest.
So each failure is just an opportunity to improve.
That's right. That's the whole idea. That's all engineers do. We test, we retest, we test again, we redesign. That's a part of the process. So any building, any process, any simple machine, anything that's engineer based, let's just say that is not the whatever the finished product is. You can bet that that wasn't the first design.
Wow. Well, that's like Edison.
I'm almost certain.
Edison said that he discovered 2,000 ways not to make a light bulb. Right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Okay. So number four, make your home a STEM-friendly place. Be enthusiastic about ideas that your child wants to test within reason. Okay. Like really, we're not popping out windows or anything. Set up a place for experimenting and building prototypes. Provide materials for those experiments. These don't have to be expensive. Materials might include things like paper cups, craft sticks, glue, those kinds of things. So those things are easy to do. You might have some of those things at your house already. So, kids are naturally curious and we should really try to encourage that.
You know, we recreated the Diet Coke Mentos.
Did you?
Yes.
I'm so scared of that one.
No, don't be scared. We did it with my young nieces and nephews. They're all under 10 at the time. And we just went into the front yard and we did it.
Oh, I'm going to do that. We might do that today.
It was so much. It was not at all dangerous. It was so much fun. And they got into it. And, you know, one of them asked for a chemistry set after that.
Oh, awesome. See, so that's what I'm talking
about.
That's
what you're talking
about. That makes me happy. Yeah. Okay. Organize groups of kids to participate in the STEM club. Okay. So there's all sorts of websites out there where you can go. And your school may have one, or your neighborhood may have one, or there might be one. Some organization may be sponsoring one for you in your neighborhood. So you just have to do some research there. Number six, promote cooperation and teamwork as kids work together on STEM challenges. Okay, before they begin working in teams, ask them to share behaviors they value in other team members. Guide them to develop a list of ground rules they will follow based on their valued behaviors. Let me tell you why this is important. Because a lot of the work in STEM and STEM related careers is done in teams. At least two people working together to get to reach a common goal. That's the concept of a team. I can tell you that I always worked as a part of a large team. So learning how to work together, valuing others, all of that is important as we move forward and try to get more kids to be STEM literate. Okay, that number seven, dun, 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 dun. Search out STEM related recreational activities such as field trips to a local science museum or a visit to an explorium. Visit robot competitions. We have many here in Atlanta. Maker fairs, which are totally fascinating. That world is amazing to me. And encourage your child to ask questions and or to participate.
Oh, can I brag on my nephew now?
Do it.
He is on his school's nationally ranked robotics team.
Awesome.
And so he sends me this text message. We're about to go live. So they're broadcasting the competition. Remember that robot show, the robot competition where they people were building the robots and beating each other up?
Yes. The one that's still on TV right now?
Is it still on TV?
Love it every Sunday night.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
My nephew built a robot, two robots that collect balls mm-hmm. within a time frame. And then they have to park the robot in a spot.
I love
spot.
Those competitions.
Number one.
Wow.
They
awesome.
Won.
Awesome. I love those competition. BattleBots on TV right now.
Is that what it is? Yeah, that kills me.
It's awesome. It's an awesome show. Awesome show. Okay, my inner nerd is coming out.
Yeah, right.
Okay, number eight, stay in touch with your teachers and offer to help with STEM activities at school or enlist help if needed in your STEM activities at home. This is a great way for you to engage others in what you're doing and to get help. So if you feel like you have no idea where to start, your kid's teacher might be a good way, or their school, someone at their school is probably doing something STEM related. So that might be a way for you to get information you need in order to take it back home.
And I can't encourage that enough mm-hmm. because in my experience, a lot of parents were reticent to do it mm-hmm. because they thought they didn't come with a science background. But in so many cases, like my kids participated in the Science Olympiad
right.
here in Georgia, mm-hmm. The kids are on their own. They're supposed to create their projects. They're supposed to come up with the ideas. They're supposed to build them. So the parent is really there to be present, not to teach or to provide information.
I love that.
So anybody can do it, even if you don't feel confident in a strong background for yourself. Mm-hmm. Your mere presence there is allowing the children to do the activity, and that's what's important.
Love that. Number nine is direct your child to various and sundry websites. So if you don't have a STEM background or you're, you know, a little reticent about wading into the STEM arena, do a Google search on different web for different STEM websites. Design Squad is one. This is from PBS. All sorts of creative activities, engaging videos, interactive games. Discover Engineering is another website. National Geographic Education has all sorts of STEM activities. And these are activities that you can do either at school or you can do them at home. So those are just three websites that I personally know of and that I personally use. PBS Kids is another go there, and they have all sorts of, and they have it listed by grade. So, you know, it goes all the way from pre-K on up to college level. So there's not a reason for you to not find something there that you can do with your child. Okay. Number 10, last but not least, I feel like we should do a drum roll, but we don't have a drum.
Wait, I can do this.
Display curiosity, okay, about those things you see and show your own interest in learning. This may be the most important tip of all. Your enthusiasm will be the greatest motivator for your child's interest in STEM. So let your child see that you are interested in something, whatever it is. So they know that, you know, learning doesn't stop when you leave school, that you are always growing, always learning, always a student in some way, shape, or form. That is a great piece of advice. And we hope that you guys will be able to take these 10 tips and use some or all of them in the upcoming school year, I should say. So our last little segment we like to call marching orders. We gave you 10 tips, but we'd also like to leave you with a little bit of something at the end of the show. Thank you again for listening. Okay. So our marching orders are as follows. Your child can help change the world. At its heart, STEM is about solving real world problems. The world is going to need more and more graduates with the skills to identify problems, visualize solutions, design prototypes, and implement those solutions. Your children could be among those graduates, helping change the world for the better. Now, there's a goal that teachers and parents need to work together to achieve. So you are not in this alone. Don't assume that your child or children, that their school, that they have it covered. Look at other avenues and opportunities to introduce STEM to your child. Look at weekend activities, clubs, organizations that might be sponsoring STEM or STEM events.
Find out what your kids really like and are passionate about. Don't be afraid of STEM or the STEM subject that your child likes. Ask questions. Be inquisitive about it. The more interest you show, the more the student believes they have your support and they will continue in that subject.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, make it fun. So thank you for joining us today on Stemming with Stilettos. We look forward to talking with you again soon. All right. See you.
Bye. All right. I'm going to splash.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Stemming in Stilettos. Please check out the show notes to get additional information about today's guest or today's topic. You can find the podcast on every major podcast platform. You can find additional information about Dr. Tasha at www.drtasha.com. Thanks again, and don't forget to tune in every Tuesday for the latest episode of Stemming in Stilettos.